So this is the first time you can listen to Muda in English, because the occasion is very special. So we have a lot of debuts here, and first debut is Muda in English. And this episode is dedicated to the special project you could listen few episodes before, made with Patagonia, Polska, nie wycinajmy tego, Polska Zielona Sieć and Change Pilot. And now we're meeting in a triangle that invented this series. And I'm here with two people. First, I will introduce Justyna. Justyna Turek is on behalf of Change Pilots. She's a designer and strategist. And my second guest is from Amsterdam.
From Amsterdam.
Yannick Meyers, who is, we just spoke before, on behalf of himself, but also Patagonia. And he's responsible for sales and marketing for Southern Europe.
It's a Central Eastern Europe, part of the Nordics,
okay.
And
not Southern
Africa.
Europe. Yeah. This is what I wanted to say at the beginning. This series is dedicated to We the Power Project. And We the Power Project is dedicated to energy and switching off from traditional sources of energy. How to do it, how to become a rebel in this kind of rebel. This is my favorite word in English, actually. I had to mention it. And you can also watch the movie called We the Power, which I really liked, and I encourage you to see it because you can see a lot of examples from Germany, Spain, England, and so on, how people made in this different zones of Europe, renewable energy revolution. And it's really good to inspire, but also our meetings here before also probably gave you, I would say, a wide gaze, a wide landscape of the possibilities of energy, of different sources of energy today, and some hints, I hope. If you want to add something to my introduction, just feel free to do it. Yannick.
Yeah.
Do you want to add something to who you are and more?
Yeah, of course. No, first of all, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
I mean, I acknowledge that we're going to speak in our non-native language, all of us, on a very complex topic, trying to see if we can capture the essence today, but we'll do our best. No, I think you introduced me perfectly, Anna. So I work at Patagonia. I take care of sales and marketing in the Central Eastern European region, part of the Nordics, South Africa, and Middle East. So it's kind of a wide range of countries, you could say. And no, I'm super excited to be here today to speak about what matters, energy.
Mm. Justyna, do you want to add something?
Of course I want. A lot. No, but I'm gonna keep the essence. So both of you described, like, we have the really same values and we care. And I think this is why it's really beautiful that we are all together here trying to change something that some other people, they consider that it's hard to change. And this is also, like, I really often work in the intersection of design and business, and I can use certain methods in the business to actually help, to leverage, to support the change. And I mean, we all know that change isn't easy for certain people. It's not easy for me sometimes. And how we can be there together and support each other, be our partners. So I think it's a part of me and me saying that who I am and introducing myself in this project. So a change is the word, like my favorite word in English that I'm using since 7-8 years. And I think I'm going to keep continue using this word. It's such a powerful word right now.
What's your favorite word, Yannick?
My favorite English word.
Yeah.
Oof.
Rebel, change, and?
I'll go for courage.
Cool. That's a nice triangle. So now I'm going to give you the voice and I will ask you about the action We the Power, how it started, and why Poland? Why Patagonia and you,
yeah.
On behalf of Patagonia also, choose Poland? Because Poland, which also emerged from our last meetings in the cycle, in the series, as a blind spot, kind of, as a country that has really a huge step, a huge changes to be done here in Poland. But we're still kind of lazy in that, or kind of slow. Mm. I don't want to answer for you, but this is my reflection right now at the beginning.
Yeah. I think it's important to to say that I don't speak with authority or expertise on neither on energy community, but also not on Poland, because I'm Dutch, I'm not a Polish guy. So, but you know, I think I can address your question in two ways, and one of them is why Poland. And I think, with the little knowledge that I have of what is happening here, I think the country is really at a crossroads. And not only Poland, I think it's fair to say, yes, Poland has a huge undertaking in front of them when it comes to the energy transition, but so do the other countries. Let's make that ultimately clear. But that doesn't take away that Poland has a very big challenge, you know, in front of us. A lot of the infrastructure is built on coal. And I think the fact that things are changing on the European level and a lot of the legislation and regulations is basically rippling down through the other countries, and they are challenged to come up with their own plans, basically, to address these issues. And for that, they will get support, financial support. You know, and I think if we're looking at Poland, It's a crossroads, really, you know, and if you're at a crossroads, and that's where I go to the second part of the question. You know, I was looking at some of the campaign that Patagonia was starting, which is We the Power, right? And I think to give the listeners a little bit of a perspective of why the hell an outdoor company is getting involved in energy community, which is a question I would ask. And the second question I would ask is probably why the hell a sales and marketing guy is talking on a topic like energy, which maybe we can talk about later. But what I can tell those listeners is that the company is really seeing that we need to think in solutions. You know, if we want to progress and innovate and move to a place where things are going to change for the better, and the ultimate goal obviously being to reverse the global warming and stabilize the climate, we need to stay within that 1.5 degrees Celsius. And I think... There are two ways to come, and when I say the company, I mean Patagonia, is looking at this, right? So one of the solutions is regenerative agriculture, is really how can we restore the big monocultures across the world and reimagine also the way we grow our fibers for clothing, and ideally also for food, obviously being the main driver of monocultures, you know. And if we go to regenerative practices, we're going to save and store the carbon in the ground. So it's part of the solution. But obviously one of the problems is the carbon emissions, right? So if we're looking at that as a solution, that's really where energy community comes in, because it's really an empowering model for citizens. And I think at this point, Patagonia is just looking at how can we use our platform, essentially, and our voice to support those NGOs and grassroots organizations in the front lines who are doing really the hard work. You know, we're just trying to chip in and to help where we can in the best way that we can. And I think that's where we started looking at, okay, hey, energy community can be one of those solutions. You know, we're going to put power back to the people, and we're going to make citizens part of the solutions, because at this point we're always looking at governments and big companies, but where are the citizens in this equation, right? So I think it was a natural topic for us to start looking at. And then I kind of took that and I saw the context happening in Poland. You know, you and I, we go back 2 years, we spoke a lot about things that are happening in Poland. I spoke with a lot of NGOs, I've been connecting with lots of people who are speaking, by the way, with expertise and authority on this. So all the knowledge and information I have is from them. And that's where I started connecting the dots. I was like, we need to give life to this campaign in Poland. And the ownership is not with us. I just feel like we just want to chip in and support where we can. And I think, again, coming back to that platform, that is a way we can help. But the expertise, again, you know, it's the people in actually in those NGOs, for example, the Polish Green Network, but there are many, many more. Those are the people making a difference. And for us, it's just looking at, hey, how can we help you, you know? And that's, I guess, a long answer to your question.
That's a great answer. How can you help as a change pilot here, or you as Justyna? Oh,
yeah. As Justyna. That's nice. I guess everyone is doing their part. Like, I feel myself, like, from personal perspective, I'm doing the best I can to create the world, the surroundings where I want to live, to shape the place where I live. And this is why I also choose Poland. I came back to Poland after like many years of traveling and actually trying to escape. So I came back and I care about, you know, like people, my neighbors, family, friends, etc. And I think this is the argument that it cannot be, you know, just blurred away, that if we're not going to make changes, if we're not going to take the active part, we're just going to be the observers. And the life is just going to pass by. And then we're going to wake up having 17, 8 years old, just looking at the things like, wow, we didn't do nothing. And there is this saying that I really like also, change is the only constant And I really deeply believe that this is the root of everything, the root of a community. Because if you are like opening up, like seeing like, okay, we are not fighting, because all of us, we want the same stuff. We want to live in a safe space. We want to live, we want to have access to the water, clean water, energy. We want to feel safe. And if we think of from this perspective, then all of us, we are partners. And this is why I really don't like when there is this moment when everyone is just like, oh, you should be doing something. Oh, you the company, you should be, no, you should be doing, like, you're doing bad, the government, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, just, can we just stop it? It's like just tiring already. It's like kids in the playground. Yeah, they're just fighting.
This is also very crucial what you're saying, that if we would think together from the, I would say, through the lens of design thinking or something, what we want, what kind of world we want to see, we would probably get completely different answers than what we're doing actually right now. What activism means to you now and how it evolved through the years?
This is going to be deep. Are you ready for that?
I am. I'm totally ready.
Everyone is ready.
I don't know that, but yeah, they have to. I mean, if we publish
Yeah,
that.
I can go share some of my views. So, you know, I think for activism, I think the common idea of what an activist is this person who is participating in protests or demonstrations, you know, and committing 100% of their time to a certain cause. And I think essentially that is an activist, right? But I think the concept is wider than that. And if you're asking me, what does activism mean? I really see it as if you're an individual and you can draw a circle around your person, so to say, you know, that is your sphere of influence. And we're all human beings. We have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. We need food on the table. We have, maybe you have kids to take care of or a family. You know, we all have things that we need to take care of, to take care of ourselves, right? So I feel that activism, it also means that you're giving everything that you have to a certain cause, but it can also mean that within your sphere of influence, you're looking at how can I, in my life, make a difference on a topic that I care about. And I think a good example is for me that I'm here today. I am in Patagonia. We do not have a CSR department, right? So basically, for the listener, CSR is corporate social responsibility. So that means that we're challenged in every department within the company is to give life to that activism in a way that you think is the best possible way, right? And for me, that was We the Power in Poland. For it is one of the examples, right? Is like I felt this is something where I can make a difference or at least be part of something. So I started allocating time to it, actually a lot. I mean, Justina and I have worked intensively on shaping this campaign in the best possible way. And I guess activism is that bit for me where you as an individual are prioritizing a little bit of your time or a lot of time that depends on yourself on something that you hold of high value. That can be the LGBTQ movement, you know, equality, or it can be climate, but you know, anything that hits your heart, I guess, and then making yourself an active participant in that movement, essentially. And that can translate in demonstrations, so, you know, partaking in that. It can be informing all your friends in some form or shape about why it matters. And I think that's what an activist is for me. It's so multi-layered.
Mm. Yeah. It doesn't have to be big and huge, and it can be just a small step every day, that what you said. And that's why I like to call most of my friends and people I know activists, you know? They're not excluded. I'm like, you're activist too. And that it's not something you study or you go to the school of activism, you know? You just became activist. Just suddenly, you know, day by day, you know, there will be a cause that finally will call you to be this activist. So that's my point of view.
I have this feeling that in Poland, everyone is activist. We like fighting for so many things every day. And I think this being activist for me is a state of mind in a way that we live in such an interesting time right now. Everything is just like happening right now in front of us. So I think it's just like our decision, like what we're going to do. I mean, the world really needs an activism. And I believe that for me was like, I was really radical in the beginning. I was just fighting because that's the only way that I imagined that my voice would be listened to. And after many years of working with the different companies on the different project with different people, I think I softened down, like, in a way that there is a huge potential in empathy. There's huge potential in listening to the people, being with them, supporting them, because it's hard. Like, Cole have such a beautiful, long tradition with communities, like, people, beautiful families and everything. It's such a huge part of our history that it should be acknowledged, yeah? Mm-hmm. So how can we make it as smooth as possible for those people to change? Like, nobody cares about them, huh? Like, we are just coming and saying, you need to change, and you have, like, exactly this amount of the time. Bye, see you next week. So this is hard. And this is why I think there is such a huge part of being activist to actually have this place in your heart to say, like, I know it's hard. Let's try to find a solution. And Yannick, you were telling about the solution. I think that might be your favorite word also, the solution.
Maybe. Solutions.
There's this solution-based psychology, which is like looking at the things from not a challenge perspective, but like how we can make it work. Mm-hmm. We're just looking at the solutions. And I think this is something that is going to happen more and more often, because we're not going to look back. We're not going to say and say, oh, this is really bad. We really need to look at the solutions. And I think this is why we need communities to support each other. When one person is down, having doubts, like, oh, this not, doesn't make sense. I have so many friends, like activists, they have their doubts, like, oh, I don't want to do this again. I'm burnt out. This is it. Nobody's listening to me. I'm moving to Bieszczady, for example.
Like, yeah.
And this is where other people, they stepping in and saying, we are with you. It's like the intervention. And I think this is why community can grow. I mean, come on, in history, we have such a beautiful examples of the communities. Just, I don't know, with the time, we just forgot about it, I guess. We just became so much individuals. It's all about me, and ego. So it's really nice just to take a step back, see, like, back in the days, communities were everything, you know, the tribe and all of this stuff. Like, it was crucial, yeah?
Yeah. I think so, they still are, just not in our cultural zone, you know, not in our area, especially in Poland. Not me, but a lot of us can notice that we became such an individualist, you know. There was such a lot of pushing of coaching industry, I would say, and so on. All these books about, like, personal growth and so on. It's always personal. It's always about you. You are the center of your world, which has actually nothing to do with loving yourself. It's just you are the center and everything should turn around you and your choose. And today, it's, for me, sounds like nothing, like blind words, like nothing stands behind it. But on the other hand, because you mentioned communities, which also is another topic that, especially with Nina Bong, who is actually a specialist for cooperatives and so on and so on, she said very important thing that she wants to create a trend for making communities and for making co-ops, because she thinks this is the future of entrepreneurship, you know, like connecting communities and cooperations with business. This is something that it sticked in my mind. But I also think what you said, Justyna, that it will be difficult in Poland to came back to communities, because this is also not something new we're inventing right now. It has happened before, but it also happens. So it's like, as we were talking before, sometimes I think that it's like magic words we are expressing or wishful thinking, but then you see that step by step it is happening. So what I would like to spread the message through this series, that people really just do things together, and it always gives you more power, more hope, more everything, you know. So this is something I guess quite important here to underline. But now I would like to ask you, when we're here, about, like, doing together, about our single influence.
Yeah.
In front of big industry and like, how do you see this issue today? Because this is also another challenge for me right now at the moment, when you're coming from your activism and you're, I don't know, 2 years involved into some action, signing petitions, limiting your plastic waste and going with bike, not flying and so on and so on. And then you're thinking, like, fuck, I'm so tired. And I think, like, one person has no influence. We need to connect, but maybe we should fight with big industries and just push our governments to change the legislation in European Union and so on and so on. What's your point of view in that matter?
So one thing Justina said in the beginning, you know, change is a constant, right? I would add to that that change is three-dimensional. So in the sense that we often perceive change as one point where it starts and then it goes somewhere, right? But the reality, it's way more holistic than that. So it means, in simple language, it means change is instigated in different points in time, right? So it means that, for me, that means that individuals and companies have all a different role, but an important role to play in the energy transition, for example. You know, I mean, there is a component for me to it where you can, you need to hold companies and governments in that sense through voting, for example, or through voting with your wallet, buying from certain companies and from certain companies you don't.
Or not buying, yeah.
So you can exert as an individual, or not buying, maybe even better, exactly. You can exert influence as an individual with your own behaviors, you know. But I think that it is completely justified that we should, you know, kind of kick their asses a little bit, you know, hey, time is ticking, we need this change to happen fast, and it's not happening fast enough. But I think, you know, where the nuance comes in a little bit is, we should hold companies and governments accountable for the actual change that they're working on, you know, the policies or the value propositions that they have. Is there an actual change happening, yes or no? And then, because of the urgency, speed is required. But if you, I think a good analogy can be, if you, for example, if the three of us will be on a racetrack, right? And there's a starting point and there's an end point. And the end point is we're going to save the world from climate change. And we're all going to sprint to that end point. We're not going to run in the same speed. Maybe Justina is going to be faster.
I'm going to make it faster than you guys. Sorry to say that.
Yeah, you're going to be faster for sure. But I guess my point is, right, so we need to make sure that everyone is running, and we need to make sure that everyone is running fast. But simultaneously, there needs to be, I guess, some empathy and understanding that different stakeholders in this transition have a different pace. As an individual, you are, you're in a position to translate your opinions or your thoughts or your ideology in direct behavior. For example, like I said, through how do you vote or how do you buy or not buy. But as a company, you know, I think it's so multi-layered, it can be very bureaucratic. You know, it's not as you can set someone say, hey, we are going to change. We need to, as a company, become more responsible. Then it's not happening like that. You know, it's, a lot of things are going to happen. And you know, what is, in my opinion, and maybe I'm going a little bit off course here, but what is needed for me is the speed is important because of the urgency, but I think the fundament on which we built the change is probably even more crucial. And I guess I can put that in these words. If a company doesn't make, let's say, the climate or social equality, if they don't make that part of their value proposition, but just some different business unit or something else, it's not going to work. Honestly, it's not going to work. You need to integrate the whole element. And it's a simple stakeholder model, right? So it's not only your shareholders you're taking care of, it's your communities because you're having a local impact. It's your consumers, it's your employees. So you're, you know, businesses probably need to become also more three-dimensional. Not only change, but also just start acknowledging that they are part of this whole thing that is happening. And because they're a part, it means that they have a role to play in it. So I guess just to sum it up, for me, if we're looking at how things are changing and the individual versus the company, I think the individual has the role to play to kick their asses a little bit, but it's maybe not progressing to always point fingers and saying, hey, you're doing it wrong. I think you can say that if they're actually doing it wrong, make sure you're informed, but also be mindful that maybe sometimes things change a little bit slower, as long as they are changing.
Mm. Wow, I would like to make a pause here because you said something very important, that if you don't treat this change seriously, and I'm calling a business here and big companies.
Can everyone listen to this?
Yes, that if you're going to make a ghetto in your company for sustainability, CSR, and so on, and it's not going to be a lens or the glasses that you're going to see the whole organism of your company through this,
it's not going to work. That's actually, I think, what you mentioned at the beginning, that Patagonia doesn't have its CSR department, you know, it's just everything is about it. So it's not a department that you go to and like, oh, let's do something, something eco, la 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 la. But it's just evolving all the whole engine. But do you want to add something, Justina?
Yeah, I get inspired. Thank you. Thank you, people, beautiful people. There's this saying that I think is really relevant here. Like, if you want to go far, you can go alone. But if you want to go further, then you're inviting others. Who cares? And I think this is why it's so important for individuals to see that they're not misfits, that they're not outcasts, that there are some of, like, there are similar people than them. And this is beautiful when those people have a support. And I really have a really big part of my heart is going to the individuals, the pioneers, the people who are just like working their asses off to do changes. And I see that they're burnouts, but they're doing a great job, but they need the support. And we were all saying today, we were all saying about this, like, to be a part of the solution, not being a part of the problem. And I think it's really beautiful to remember about the everyone have a different pace, and the same the companies. Come on, they're like big houses with many people, like so many care, like the care there is just like, we need to also, I call it massage them. Some of the companies that I have worked with, they're coming after 2-3 years to back to us and saying like, okay, we are ready now. I think we understand. And this is fine. And they're doing safe things because, like, of course it's new for them. I mean, look at them, like the pandemic, they changed their life, like, in so many different layers. They need to reintegrate everything one more time, changing the systems. It takes time. It just really takes time. So I think this is, we all should take a chill pill right now, just be together and see like, okay, let's do this as a community, but not being, you know, pointing the fingers, as you, Yannick, was saying. This is not the game that we are playing anymore.
I think pointing fingers and blaming and shaming, it happens a lot also in the circles, in activist circles, I would say, in activist society. I mean, your worst enemy, might be not enemy, but your biggest critics are going to be from your tribe, probably. And I was the same. If I've noticed a year or 2 years ago that someone is not doing their job perfectly, his or her job perfectly, I mean, not going by the book with all the green rules, you know, we have here. I was like kind of pissed off, and I've noticed it, how it's growing inside of me. Like, what is this girl talking about? She's like, you know, making a mistakes and so on and so on. And this is, I think it doesn't go anywhere, this way of thinking, like blaming and shaming each other. And also it kind of takes our, I would say, our gaze from the main point and the big industry, big oil, big pharma, big, I don't know, big whatever is big, big meat. That we are blaming and shaming each other and wasting time on it. And then meanwhile, they're doing business as usual, I would say. This is...
Yeah, maybe, you know, just to add something, I think what makes it super complex is the there is a high urgency for change, right? We need to get our shit together, or well, the science speaks for itself. I mean, we don't have to go into that. So I feel there is an urgency, and we should feel empowered to hold each other accountable for our behavior, because if we don't, maybe business continues as usual. And honestly, that is a formula that's not going to work. I think you hit exactly the sweet spot. Yeah, the sweet spot, the hammer on the nail, right? So when you say that the blaming and shaming, and now I'm probably talking about the individual point of view, is probably not, you know, encouraging or empowering others to progress. I mean, for example, if you're trying to learn surfing, I'm just saying something, and someone is going to tell you the whole time, you suck, you're terrible, you're doing a shitty job, you know, that is, you're, at some point you're going to be like, okay, fuck it, I'm not going to go into that. So, you know, I guess the same psychology applies also to, and that's also Justina's point, is how do you integrate a certain sense of empathy into the transition, that, you know, maybe you are, you know, you're not eating meat, you're not flying, you're taking all the steps that you can take as an individual, but maybe a friend of yours is still eating meat and flying planes, but they're kind of recycling their plastic, you know. You might experience that as man, you can do so much more. Are you crazy? We're going to die in 50 years, you know? Mm. But that person can feel and experience that as, you know what? I want to become part of the solution. And this is kind of my first step. And I guess if you're psychologically playing a game a little bit with your friend, you know, that is only recycling, you can, you know, you be encouraging. You're showing like, hey, I understand. You're doing awesome. Have you thought about this? You know, for example. And just on the companies, yeah, you know, I think maybe just one example, Shell just lost a court case in the Netherlands, you know, and yes, they're going to high a court, but this is a landmark. And a lot of the reasoning that Shell, it's called reactive reasoning. A lot of reasoning that Shell has is, well, you know what, if we as an oil company are going to say pull out from Nigeria, you know, the government is taking those licenses and they're going to be like, hey, you know, who wants to buy those licenses? And basically the argument is, if we don't, someone else will. And I think this is kind of a paralysis that we need to remove from the debate, because it takes you nowhere. Like, if I don't do it, someone else will. Yes, you're right, but we need to start somewhere. So I guess my nuance to what I said earlier is a little bit, yes, we need to be empathetic and understanding towards each other. But I think we also should not be afraid to be loud and hold people and companies and governments, by the way, accountable for the pace and the implementations and the investments they are doing, because it's important and it is urgent. So, you know, it's that play where you need to find a fine line where you reflect your urgency in whatever you do as an individual, but at the same time, you're trying also to be understanding. And that can be difficult, because if you're so convinced, and we should be, because again, this is a real, real, real issue for all of us if we don't act up. So you should be concerned, but you know, I guess the magic formula, according to me, is to find that compassion in your urgency.
Find compassion, find empathy. I think we repeated it for so many times, and it's
our new favorite words, huh?
New favorite words. We started with change, rebel, and courage, and we will finish with compassion, empathy, and love.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
But I guess it's a good mix, you know? I would like to use all these words and try to implement more of these words into our language. Okay, so to stick to that, what you said, Yannick, and like, let's just finish with blaming and shaming each other and start somewhere. What you said, also very important to me, is that, okay, if I stop, someone else will do it. You know, this is another thing that blame and shame would probably, it's from the same field. But what's your way to convince people to change their behaviors? Like, that was my question about being messiah. Are you still messiah, or you convince and push people, or you want to be more like a teacher and guide, or just kind of inspire people to change? You know, what's your magic rule or your magic way to, not maybe, I don't want to even say to influence people, but just to show them that maybe different way of thinking and different way of working, or different questions you can start to ask yourself. Or like you said about the person who is still flying and eating meat, you know, my answer is like, would be probably to that person, what meaty thing you like the most? Stick to that and just leave the rest, maybe, for example, you know, just giving these options. But in my way of thinking and convincing other people and guiding, inspiring, blah, 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 what has changed to me a lot, completely, and maybe not completely, but a lot, 90 degrees, I would say, is that I don't push people. Like, I'm not, I would say, some of my friends would say probably a year or 2 years ago, I was even aggressive with my way of convincing and pushing people to change, and like really talking all the time and being messiah all the time. Whenever I had opportunity, birthday party, in the park with my mom, with my grandma, everyone. Mm-hmm. And this way I could see like not everyone is in the same spot, not everyone has different pace. Mm-hmm. And I understood I will always be 2, 3, 4 steps ahead, and this is okay, because the rest is like a team, or like a running team, you know, the rest still need time to run to that point, and then they're gonna be in another point, and then it's like with the trends in fashion. So there are these trend setters, and they're always in front, and then there are these early adopters and so on. I think with this, even though I don't think it's a trend, it's a direction we go to, but still it's kind of similar, you know, maybe.
So there's one quote that I also the other one from my book of quotes, that the gate of the change opened inside. And I learned that from really hard lesson. I was having messiah complex because of my food diet decision in life, lifestyle decision, other stuff that I'm just... I remember like being this person that being angry, as you were saying, like why other people are not doing the same as me. I know the secret sauce of life. You should be following me. Like I'm the modern Jesus, you know, I know the best. And, you know, like immediately I saw like, oh, there is no people around me. Why? And there was a really important moment for me to see like, this is not the way of actually talking to the people who I am to actually tell them that they're doing wrong. Come on. I was doing wrong before. Like, how can I be so hypocrite?
Yeah.
How can I be so hypocrite? So I believe that there is no way to push, no way to make decision of people because they have a different pace, as we were saying today a lot. They need to make their own changes. And we are there to support them, to give them like, look, I can give you an example. I can be a role model for you. I can give you support. But there is no pushing, no convincing. Like, I would be angry if somebody would come to me, to my house, telling like, look, you need to stop eating meat. You need to stop watching Netflix. Come on, Netflix is great. Like, you know, like this kind of stuff. I would be like fighting back immediately. So I think this is like super important to not get stuck in this messiah. Like, and there's this word, evangelization, mm-hmm. kind of. Maybe I said that wrong. That we should stop doing that at some point. Because then we are just alone and nobody else is watching us. Nobody else is like observing us. Just be there when they're gonna have questions. Be there for them. And this is the only way I see that the modern activist can make it work. No pushing, no aggression. But I'm saying that, but also in the end, I really supporting the people that they're angry on the street and shouting like, I'm in a luxury position that, I mean, I don't need to be angry in a way that I don't need to go on the street and fight. Maybe in a couple of weeks I will be because we never know what's going to happen in Poland right now. But I'm in a luxury position in the way that I don't know what they feel. Maybe if I would feel the same, then I would be screaming on the street. Then I would be fighting. Then I would be aggressive. So it's like I have this dualism inside me. Like, it's hard to choose. Like...
Mm. Yeah, no, you know, I think, and maybe that's a beautiful bridge also to the energy communities. I think you're up there as a messiah alone to all the 10 Instagram fans I have, by the way. No, you know, just I feel that if you're having a platform, you should use it. But again, like there is a sense of disconnection to a large part of the civilization of a certain country. If you're just sending instead of receiving only, you kind of dissociate yourself from what's happening out there. And I think the beauty of energy communities is, you know, and you said it before, Anna, like the community element is nothing new. Maybe in the course of the last decades, we lost a little bit of that community spirit with individualism creeping in the urban environments, maybe more than in the villages where you know your neighbor, for example. But I think, and the whole body of things that we were speaking about for the last 15 minutes, maybe this is what energy community can mean, right? It's you're not alone in this. You can do it with others, with equal voice. You know, it's a democratic principle. And you can help the world a little bit with that decision. And I think the beauty is not only in that you're becoming part of a bigger solution, which is making sure that the carbon emissions are going down and to make sure that we are not retracting all the resources Mother Earth has to offer us. But you're also grabbing an opportunity to reconnect with a lot of people around you. And I think, you know, for a lot of people in that are feeling so alone and disconnected on this topic of energy. For example, I don't know a coal miner in Poland, but I can imagine that if you have, like you mentioned before, if you have a family, if you built your history on in that industry, you feel threatened because you have something that you know and someone is trying to take it away from you. And again, you know, that is where the energy community for me comes in. It's like, hey, but have you thought about this? You can become part of something new. You know, let's make all those coal mines places to generate, for example, renewable energy. But that's maybe a utopian vision from me. But yeah, I guess that's just my thinking out loud.
So to sum it up and to just go to the port, how do you see, maybe not very long-term future, but at least, I don't know, for how long we can plan today when we don't, I mean, after, in the times of pandemic, do you plan for a year or 5 years? How do you see the future? More like a blackout or more like a sunlight? Are you, and probably this is also a question of what gives you hope.
Mm. You want to take that for us, Justina?
Yeah.
And I'm also curious about what gives you hope, Anna.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I think it's not going to be so different, but just say it.
Okay, the ball goes to me. So I really believe, and this is something that I'm refusing actually to have to join this game of growing, constantly building new things, innovation in a way that we need to produce more and more and more and more. I really believe that the growing is a new black in a way that we don't need to constantly think about growing and changing and adding more and more and more and stuff. There is this beauty of like just taking a step back. And as you were asking, like how I see the future, I really see the future in a way that more and more people, they're going to rethink the way they live, they rethink how they consume, rethink what they want to do in this life on this earth, like right now in this such a crazy moment. And I also believe that we're going to go half and half because I already see such a amazing, I mean, this is wrong, the polarization in so many different levels. So I see that we're going to go half and half, half of the people they're going to become are really aware, are really conscious, like going through utopia, building amazing permaculture building, you know, like doing awesome job. But the other half of the people, they're going to decide to stay as it is because it's a comfort for them. Like staying the same home, the same job, the same car, using the car, diesel car, etc. It's a safe zone for them. So I think what we need to prepare that we're going to have such a huge polarization. And the bridge between, this is going to be the clue, how to glue those two words happening in the future so they can actually communicate. Because if there's no communication, then, I mean, come on, we are seeing what's happening in the world. There's so much thing that are based on the communication, just like having a bridge between those two totally edgy futures, because I believe in the futures, not future one. There's going to be many futures. I think that's the reason why I'm waking up in the morning, to be honest. The balls go to you.
So yeah, now Yannick, you're...
So blackout or sunshine, huh?
Hmm?
I think sunshine. Yeah, I think sunshine. You know, you feel the world waking up. And there are so many amazing people out there with amazing ideas and amazing things that they're doing to, like I said before, to chip in a little bit within their own sphere of influence. This is what I'm going to do. I see hope. I am hopeful, definitely, Anna, I think on this. But we need to make sure that we keep each other sharp, for sure.
To sum it up, I would just use another quote, which is from William McDonough from Cradle to Cradle. And he said once, and it really resonates with me, that it's going to take all of us. It's going to take forever. But that's the point. So
beautiful.
I would like to like just leave all of us and also the listeners with that. And thank you so much. It was the last episode of, the series made with Patagonia. Polska Zielona Sieć and Change Pilots, and it's all dedicated to energy, renewable sources of energy, alternative sources of energy, whatever you like to call it. So thank you so much, and
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. It
change,
was a pleasure.
Rebel, courage, love, empathy,
solution, hope,
people,
positive connotations in this
community,
in this chat,
sunshine.
Yeah.
That's it. And just see, and again, I still encourage you to visit the website wethepowersplash.com, because you're going to find more events over there, and also to see the movie We the Power, so you can inspire by other change makers from different countries in Europe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.